Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 44.
Die Hard with a Revengeance.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
This is Bluonic.
I'm Anvil.
And right over here, Bluonic is trying out his new little toy.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
All right, fine, now I am.
What is this new little project that you've got going over there?
Ooh, what's this? I don't know, I've been fucking around with this thing. It's kind of been fun.
What's it called?
It's called Fruity Loop Studios.
Fruity Loop Studios?
Yes, and I don't mean Fruity Loops with the bent hand and the, hey, it's gay. No, it's pretty fucking cool. Like, you're able to make music.
I was actually thinking it was Toucan Sam.
Well, that too.
Well, no, he actually gets to reconstruct Michael Jackson back to plastic form.
Yeah, by doing music.
Well, that's one of the mini games on there, isn't it?
Yeah, but you get Michael Jackson to do the little moonwalk.
Hee-hee!
But, we just got back from the movie theaters. We went and saw Death at a Funeral, starring Chris Rock, Danny Glover, Tracy Morgan, Martin Lawrence.
Loretta Devine. Zoe Saldana.
Yep. This is the second movie...
In a row
that we've seen Zoe Saldana in.
I'm not complaining.
Me neither.
I am.
Why?
Because it's like that Russian chick that was in the, what do you call that? What movie was that? Damn it! Why am I forgetting? It had Timothy Oliphant in it.
Hitman,
yeah. Remember that Russian chick?
Yeah,
she ended up in, like, 50 different movies. Like, you know, she was in the 007 one, the Quantum of Solace, and then she was, like, Hitman, and then she, like, went into, like, a bunch of other ones. Wait, she was also in Max Payne.
But this movie here is a remake of the 2007 UK film, which was originally directed by Frank Oz, who some of you might know as the puppeteer behind Fozzie Bear, Gonzo, Animal, I believe Cookie Monster, and a bunch of other Muppets.
And don't forget the TV show Oz.
Nope.
No?
Nope. He did direct the 1986 movie Little Shop of Horrors.
Close enough. Is he the Wizard of Oz?
No.
Oh.
Oh no, anything but the Little Shop of Horrors.
Come on.
Anything.
Feed me, Seymour! Feed me! I'm a bang green motherfucker from outer space!
Yes, you are.
But the premise is, it's a funeral, and all of a sudden there's this really short guy, played by Peter Dinklage, who comes up to Chris Rock and says, I need to talk to you for something.
Midgets! Dwarf! Little people!
Come on! Vertically challenged!
Yes, vertically challenged.
Fine, vertically
almost kind of like you are, but in the reverse sense.
Fuck you. Ouch. Blue hurt my feelings.
Why don't you cry about it?
Yeah, well, you're so short, I'll spit on the top of your head.
That's because I'm sitting down.
I'm sitting down, too.
But on the floor.
Me, too.
No, you're not. But it turns out that the father, the one who died, was having a gay affair with the dwarf.
Yeah, if you didn't watch the trailer, then you missed out.
As we all know, he's on the down low. The real down low.
The really, really, really down low. The so low that you could possibly go, oh my god, he can go that low? He's the limbo king. That's how low he can go.
Well, I don't know. Our vertically challenged friend, depending on how low he went on that one, yeah. But we're not going to discuss that.
Yeah. There were some weird hand gestures during that movie that he was making.
Oh, yeah. was creepy. But that's not even the only story going on.
Oh, yeah, there's one couple that one of the guys actually takes what he thinks is Valium, or what his wife, or fiance thinks is Valium, but it's really acid, mixed with acid.
Well, it's basically like acid mixed with Special K, mixed with something else, like they originally said. For those that you don't understand what we're talking about, it's a psychotropic drug. That's my big word of the year.
Psychotropic.
I have an echo.
And he's starting to freak out, going, oh my god, the coffin's moving!
And then, oh, well, actually, I'm not going to ruin that part.
There's a lot that's going on. There's Chris Rock, his brother, Martin Lawrence. His name was Ryan in the movie, right?
Yes.
He comes back, and everyone's thinking, oh, you're going to do such a good speech. No, my older brother here is going to do it. Oh, but we want you to read the eulogy.
No offense, big brother, but you suck.
You know, because the younger brother played by Martin Lawrence is a famous author and blah, blah, blah. But he's broke, which is funny.
He's a broke-ass motherfucker.
I think my favorite character had to be Loretta Devines, who was the mother in the movie. Because she was so dramatic. She was being the drama queen.
Yeah.
Ryan comes in, she knocks down her son's wife and runs to him, or, you know, just fainting, or whatever.
Well, the one thing I have to say about it is this kind of gave the idea of, like, you know, the setup of, like, how actual families are to each other.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know how much, like, when they go and speak at a few, like, something like this, they don't know how much they're really hurting somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these words that were said, I felt like it was a little bit too close to home, so I was kind of like, wow, this is really just... They did a good job on that factor. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact that the mom was like, oh yeah, blah, 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 woe is me, woe is me. You know, she was just like all about her. And like, as soon as like somebody else said something, she's like, fuck you, you weren't married to him, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, and I mean, they really did keep, you know, really catch that family thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when Chris Rock actually gave the eulogy, it actually felt sincere to me.
I did have a bit of an issue with some of the script in this movie because there were parts, especially that eulogy part, was word for word the exact same thing from the 2007 British movie.
Yes, but didn't they buy out the rights to do it over here?
Well, yes, and in fact, it's the same screenwriter.
See, so I mean, they can do it. But I think the speech was really touching, and I ain't gonna lie, I got a little choked up. Because when you hear somebody give a eulogy... Every one of us has been to a funeral. So it, like, hits you.
Yeah, unless the fucking person who's doing the eulogy is a fucking retard. Oh, I've had those ones that are, you're like, sitting there like, what the fuck was this person thinking when they wrote this? I mean, especially when he gave the speech, because it was, like, a dual incentive. Like, they had to do it a second time because they fucked up.
Yeah, it was like, my father was born in 1938.
Shortenbread, or some shit.
Yeah, hello, Shortenbread.
And then...
And the man of the year was Adolf Hitler, and the drunk the kid does a Nazi salute, which was hilarious.
But I mean, going through it, when you talk about this eulogy, it's basically how a real one would be written. Alright, I felt it. Because I know when my best friend died, I spoke at his funeral. But like, a bunch of us gave eulogies... Mm-hmm. Is how the family wanted it. And then you had that one moron who got up and spoke, who we found out didn't even know him.
Oh, was that situation.
Yeah, you know, one of those weird people that shows up at a funeral, didn't know him, just, you know, to go to the reception after, for, you know, to eat and hang out.
We won't really go into that, but let's just say that if you ever met Anvil in person, he will gladly tell you this story.
Yes. I wasn't going to go any further, but I'm just saying... You know, because you said the whole stupid people gave him the eulogy, and that's how it started out. But when he gave the real eulogy,
mm-hmm.
it touched you. It started off with, like, that stupid person that didn't even know him to, you know, feeling it.
Yes.
That's just the whole way I was going with that.
Right.
But basically, this family, they're together. They don't see each other outside of, well, funerals, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Glover... Did a great job.
Oh, yeah. I was surprised that he would do a role like this.
Why?
I know he did the whole Lethal Weapon thing, but that was when...
He used his line.
Yeah.
He used his line. Did you notice that?
No.
He was just like, you know, all this shit was going on. He's just like, I'm getting too old for this shit, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then he said, well, we just burn him. Right. But I think, you know, he did the movie just for the patent seat.
He's like, great.
Poor Tracy Morgan.
Oh, yeah. Man.
He's like, more or less in the sense, hey, I don't have to stand up in this whole goddamn thing. Yeah. And I love the ending. We're not going to spoil that one.
And basically, the only time he stood up, he had people holding him, so it was hilarious. But I think it was a good choice of cast members. Mm-hmm. Luke Wilson, he didn't hurt the movie, but he didn't help it either.
Yeah.
He's somebody that they could have actually done the entire movie without.
Somewhat. And if they had maybe gotten someone that wasn't as well known as him, it would have been the same character.
It would have gone a lot smoother.
Like his brother.
I don't know about Owen Wilson.
It was just a diss on Owen Wilson.
Owen, yeah.
No. You said somebody not as known, so I had to make fun of him.
Well, no, Owen Wilson's pretty known.
No, don't do that, because Owen tried to off himself at one point, so let's not give him that option again.
Yeah, he hasn't really done much since then. I would love to see like a lesser-known person. I know mentions were made of Charlie Hunnam playing that character.
Really?
Who?
Exactly. You don't know who he is. But he's done a lot of things that ladies watch. And I first became a fan of Charlie Hunnam when he was in Green Street Hooligans.
Yeah.
And then
that's the one with, what's his name from Lord of the Rings?
Yeah. Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood.
It's a really good movie. My cousin got it for me for Christmas one year, and I liked it.
It deals with the Irish Mafia, right?
No.
Which one am I thinking of, then?
I don't know. This deals with the soccer, clubs.
Oh, right.
Well, the hooligan fans, yes. The different factions. But then I also became an even bigger fan of his as Jax Teller from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh,
he grew out his hair to be long and became a huge star.
I see.
If it wasn't, he was actually supposed to do this movie originally, from what I was told. But they started filming Sons of Anarchy, so we couldn't do it.
Oh, okay.
Two different parts of the country.
You love Sons of Anarchy so much. Why don't you fucking marry it?
All right. It's past there.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Actually, I need Justice of the Peace. I'll marry it right now.
Oh, great.
Oh, great. But for me personally, because I've seen the original version, like I've mentioned a couple times, and comparing the two, they're both as funny, but when it comes to the wit, the British version, I felt, did a better job with it, with more of the clever jokes.
You are a racist. You are a racist.
I'm not a racist.
There's all white people.
See, he's trying to do this with a British accent as well.
I'm not a bloody racist, you twat.
Hey, go get your teeth fixed.
Okay, wanker.
But you know what? I'll give credit when credit is due. There are parts of this movie where I was actually coughing so much from laughing a lot.
Yeah, we noticed. Seeing that there was only, what,
three?
Wait. No, two in front of us, one was over there. So about four other people besides us. So there were seven people in the whole, theater. Hilarious.
And one lady, she wouldn't stop laughing. I wish I had an orange.
She's like,
she got up to the bathroom. I wish I had an orange.
Like, lady, shut the fuck up down in front.
She didn't even have a funny laugh. She was like,
kill that bitch. Kill her.
What the fuck?
Overall, good movie. I wouldn't say a perfect comedy. Nowhere near a perfect comedy, because
there's no such thing as a perfect comedy.
I'll give it a thumb up and just maybe a thumb sideways because of the whole factor of just, there was just a lot in this movie that I had seen already in the original version.
Fuck you. Basically, I thought this was a really good movie. Good, you know, they took all the different parts, put together very well. Because you had the three different stories going on, basically. And they put them all together to end it perfectly. In my opinion, there's some other things I would have loved to have seen them do with this movie. Like, more parts I wish I spent more time on. But I'll give it two thumbs up, because I was laughing quite a bit, which a lot of movies don't get me, as you know, laughing as hard as this movie did.
Okay.
It had Zoe Saldana, and damn, I love Zoe Saldana. And I probably would buy this on DVD.
You would? Okay, then.
Yeah. Or bootleg.
I felt like going into this movie, shit, we didn't have a goddamn, like, official movie that was coming out this week, and we were like, we just had to kind of go with the scraps from, like, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
Although we did see one movie, which we'll touch on later.
Yes, later. Much later. but in that sense...
Anal plug.
No, not that one.
Oh.
Not a porno.
Oh.
Unless we want it to be. Anyway, dealing with that, I have to say, I want to give, like, one thumb up easily, and then, like, about one, like, at a quarter turn, kind of, like...
almost the same as mine.
Yeah, because it felt like it was a good movie, but yet there could have been a lot more, even though I do agree with Anvil here. There was some shit that was just kept on going that was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but the idea of the actual death at a funeral kind of thing, you know, I felt that it was kind of left me a little bit short. Or otherwise... I don't know how to say it in any other way. But it felt like, I don't know, along those lines, it felt like there was something missing. But, it wasn't like, two weddings and a funeral or
four weddings and a funeral.
Four weddings and a funeral or some stupid shit like that. You know, is that along the same lines? Is that the same guy who's been doing this shit?
No.
Does he just keep coming? Because he kept coming up with... Yeah, I should call it this. I could whittle it down to one fucking little story, you know? But, I felt that it was pretty good, and I liked the fact that Chris Rock was in it, and he usually brings his funny character. I mean, it's not like Back in the Day of Dogma where he falls out of the sky and, you know, and he goes, oh, God damn it! You know, this one is like, he has his serious roles and his serious moments of saying, like, you know, what he's trying to do. He's trying to get through the goddamn day of, you know, his father, dying. I mean,
yeah.
I dealt with that day, and it was fucking horrible. It was fucking awful. But the way that they had to do it with the satire and shit like that, at least his had some comedy to it, and they were able to survive, and he got laid at the end of it. But, you know, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have to also think, though, they opened up the first minute you were laughing. So Jackie Chan shows up.
God damn it, not Jackie Chan. Oh, wait. Yeah, it was Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Even though that's the guy from... Well, no, he was from Kung Fu The Legend Continues, I think. Or it's something like that.
I thought it was the guy from Pineapple Express. I thought it was one of the...
He's in that, too. And he's also in that other movie that I can never remember the name. With Ashton Kutcher, you know, sweet.
No!
Dude,
where's my car?
That's it.
He's from that one. And also, we're going digging back. He was, like, the great emperor of, what was it? The battle, like, that Chinatown one with, oh, fuck. Kurt Russell. Do you guys remember that one?
Oh, yeah!
Big Trouble in Little China?
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It.
Bingo. That, he was the emperor in that one. He's been around for, like,
well,
ever.
To King Baby Duck for getting that, you get a golden hooker sticker?
And an ice cream.
Which we'll get later after we record the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
A motorboat of ice cream. I mean,
yes.
Well, let's see. On Wednesday, Nenya and I went and saw the movie How to Train Your Dragon, which is one of the recent films from DreamWorks Animation.
Is that a new porno?
No. That's,
Good Boy.
That's How to Drain Your Dragon.
Oh!
I thought it was How to Train Your Lizard.
Now, the premise is there's this boy, Hiccup, who is son of Stoic the Vast, and he is like the leader of all the Vikings who live in the island of Berk. And Hiccup is the worst Viking on there. And he's also the apprentice of Gober the Belt, the blacksmith. During a dragon raid, Hiccup shoots down a rare dragon called a Night Fury, so rare that they don't even have a picture of it in the Book of Dragons. So when he shoots it down, no one believes him. So he goes and searches, and he finds the wounded dragon. And as he's about to kill him, he realizes he can't. He notices that it's as scared of him as he is as scared of the dragon.
Whoa. Dragon, I can't quit you. I love you.
I love you,
so,
dragon.
Hiccup befriends the dragon and calls him Toothless because he has this sort of ability to have his teeth like appear and disappear.
Like a shark.
That's a creepy little fucking dragon right there.
So he helps fix the broken tail wing to help the help Toothless fly again. And one of the other Vikings in training, Astrid, played by one of your favorite actresses, America Ferrera.
Boobies!
Yeah. Ugly Betty.
Yeah.
Ugly Betty!
I love Ugly Betty.
Can I have her?
Fine.
I'll give her to you for a dollar.
Yay, dollar.
Okay.
Well, anyway, she discovers his secret, but promises to keep it quiet, and they decide to fly off, and there's one scene where they discover the dragon's nest, and there, they realize why these dragons are doing the raids on Burke, and why these dragons have been just totally, what's the word I'm looking for? Misunderstood.
Oh, that's a good one.
And it's got Jay Baruchel plays Hiccup. He was the lead guy from She's Out of My League.
Mm-hmm.
And then Stoic Navarro was Gerard Butler. And then stealing every scene he was in, playing Gober the Belch, Craig Ferguson.
Of course.
Craig Ferguson, he could just open his mouth and I will just laugh. That's the type of guy he is. You disagree, Blahnik?
Yep.
Well, sometimes the Scotsman can be really, really funny, but in the other sense, he's sometimes a little bit too much.
Just I don't like him. I've only seen one thing he's ever done that I liked.
Mr. Wick?
Nope.
Saving Grace?
No.
Lady
of Insignificance.
Oh. Yes, that's always a classic. But the animation in this film, while not really realistic character-wise, because it was kind of a little bit cartoonish, when you saw the background and how the oceans looked and the buildings, they're pretty fucking real.
Well, didn't we see or observe this when we were watching, like, the Super Bowl or some shit? They had, yeah, like, the little intro, like, in between commercials of it, and, like, they kept on doing funny little things where the Vikings kept fucking themselves up.
Yep.
Well, we could see that the cartoon, you know, version of it was, like, kind of silly, but, I mean, the background looked pretty, you know, real.
Yeah.
Except when they do the slamming into the wall thing, but, yeah.
Now, this movie is based on a children's book, but it's very different from the original source, yet it still manages to keep its central message intact, you know, like, not judging a book by its cover. And what was good about this screenplay is it wasn't afraid to get too dark when the moments were calling for it, and it really didn't need to use any hidden jokes for laughs, like when you watch, like, Monsters vs. Aliens or Shrek, or any of the other DreamWorks movies, how they have the hidden jokes. There really wasn't any like jokes that would go over the head of everybody.
Yeah.
Although there was one thing that I really liked it, myself and Nenya even liked as well. It's how they use Norse gods for the exclamation. Like, instead of, oh my god, it's, oh my Thor!
Yeah.
Oh lord.
And like, by Odin's graces! And besides Baruchel, Ferguson, Ferrara, and Butler, we've also had supporting roles from Jonah Hill and Christopher Mintz-Plasse, who we saw in Kick-Ass. He was Red Mist.
Yeah.
And Jonah Hill is in that movie, Get Him to the Greek. He's the one who's trying to get...
And he was in Superbad.
Superbad, and Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
So...
And I forget, I know I've read this name so many times, Kristen Wiig.
I've heard it, but I can't picture where.
Yeah, I have the same feeling with, she's Gumby and MacGruber, that's why.
Oh, her!
Yes.
I know who you're talking about now.
You mean the one that's from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Okay, now I know who you're talking about.
The 3D in this movie, though, fucking amazing. Definitely better than the Avatar 3D.
Maybe beautiful. Well, Avatar wasn't that good in 3D. Not too much popped at me.
Right. Well, this was like one of those movies where, say, like the camera's swaying and the characters are flying, and something's going towards them, you will actually have that kind of instinct where they actually like swerve away.
Yeah, I'd be the jerk trying to swing.
You'd punch the kid in the back of the skull. Which reminds me, it was so awesome because Nenya and I practically had the whole IMAX theater to ourselves.
Wow.
With the exception of, like, two other people.
Makeout session.
Nope. And in my opinion, this is probably DreamWorks' best animated feature. It had a great story, perfect pacing, smart without having to worry about acting dumb in some places, and definitely the best film I've seen in 3D. I gave it 2 thumbs up, and then you wanted me to quote this as, it was the cutest movie ever, because she would stop squeeing every time Toothless did something cute.
What's a squee?
Squee! You hear Silent Shan do it sometimes.
Well, the only movie I've ever sat next to her in was Blindside, and she kept on asking me football questions.
Oh, okay. Well, you should hang out with her more often.
It's the whole, hey, Anvil, what? Is it you? What do you mean? You play football? And they said, large, white-ass, big fat. Hey, someone call me fat.
That's a huge bitch.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, Bullock and I went and saw one of the movies that did open up this past weekend.
Oh, no. Why? Why?
We went and saw the movie Furry Vengeance.
Furry Vengeance.
How?
Which was, it was filmed in Boston.
Yes, I know.
Now, here's the premise of this movie. Brendan Fraser, he's a lawyer for one of Boston's top firms. And he has a wife who's played by Brooke Shields and has two kids. However, at night, he secretly goes out for sexual rendezvous with prostitutes while wearing a raccoon costume. And for some reason dubs himself Edmund the Raccoon.
That's kind of creepy as shit. That's some weird furry shit.
I don't know, and I thought this was supposed to be like a fucking kids movie.
That's what I thought.
Me too.
We all sat there. I was like, why the fuck is he going after prostitutes?
It gets worse, because one night the prostitute tries to rob Edmund and winds up mutilating his genitals.
Oh, man. I hate when that happens.
I know.
So the wife finds out and leaves him, and then the firm finds out what happens and forces him to resign, which leaves him with nothing.
Yep.
Absolutely nothing. And now he has to live in a hotel room by himself.
Actually, he does have something.
What?
Mutilated genitals. Yeah.
So, Edmund decides to seek revenge on the prostitute and her employer. And he's assisted from a character named Yin Yang, played by Ken Jeong.
Ooh.
A transgendered lap dancer.
Oh, man. When I saw that, I fucking freaked. I was just like, what are we watching, dude? This is wrong.
And
about half the audience had left by that point.
Yeah.
Just like, I couldn't stand it. I think somebody puked, too, because it smelled horrible in the theater.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely, man.
I have to say, this is probably one of Brendan Fraser's best roles since School Ties, and he will most definitely win an Academy Award for it.
Yeah, that's probably the sad thing about that movie. Yeah, he probably will.
And on top of that, Ken Jeong doing a dramatic role. Oh my god, he's so good.
I know, he was really impressive. He just blew my fucking mind.
You could just tell how hard. His character's life has gone through trying to transition from boy to girl, but knowing that she had still a long way to go.
Yes, a very long way in the pants. I was grinding on tons and tons of guys, and I went, oh man, it takes so much to do that.
Yeah. Now the screenplay, which was written by Werner Herzog, who wrote and also directed Rescue Dawn and Bad Lieutenant Port of Call New Orleans.
Ah, right.
Yes. I don't recall that second movie.
It had the iguanas in it.
Iguanas. That was funny. Thanks. I was trying to act like I didn't even know it. You had to bring up the freaking iguanas, huh?
Yep.
Asshole.
Prepare to trip balls.
There's a lot of uncomfortable dialogue in this movie, but with Herzog's charm, he manages to, like, do it in a very Shakespearean manner. Like, modern-day vernacular in a very prose-like form.
See you guys later. I'm going to see this movie. I think Duck just talked me into going to see it.
Cinematography in this movie, it was done by Tim Moore, who did the movie Choke and Pineapple Express.
He just talked me out of it. He used a big word.
Choking, grab, motion.
A lot of the angles are mind-numbing. And some of the close-up shots on Fraser, just the look in his eye, you're never going to look at this actor the same way again. And on top of that, the sex scenes looked so real. Yeah. I don't know how they did it. It could have been real.
Sex.
It could have been real. Because I know that some people will actually have sex in an R-rated movie and it wouldn't be simulated. So that could have been it. And I've also got to give it up for the soundtrack of this film. some of the best songs I've ever heard in my life are in this movie, and I especially loved how they used David Bowie's Space Oddity while you saw Edmund and his severed penis fall to the floor.
It was almost as magical as when they did the Jane Silent Bob with the cock knocker and knocked his hand off, and he went, "Not again!"
It was
close to that.
It was close to that.
He dropped that line. It was pretty funny.
Now, this movie was directed by Lars von Trier, who did Dogville and the very controversial but critically acclaimed film Antichrist. And he put some of his best and twisted work into Furry Vengeance. There's just this one scene that involves Brendan Fraser just attempting to get himself off because he just had it, you know, mutilated down there, while eating soft-serve ice cream and watching The Sound of Music.
I'm sorry.
Holy shit. I think I fell asleep on that part, man. I don't understand on that one.
Continue.
Wow. Kane, you're turning bright fucking red. Holy shit, I've never seen that shade come from you.
The king's looking like a Kool-Aid man.
Okay. All right.
Oh,
so,
shit.
I know, it sounds like a silly scene. But it's so unsettling, but at the same time you're watching it and it's like a social commentary in regards to broken marriages and the aftermath of human beings when their entire lives have been not just thrown away, but also just like taken from their grasp. Now, Herzog was originally supposed to direct the film, but he convinced von Trier to direct it because he believed correctly that von Trier could bring out the more vulgar elements of the story in a very artistic approach. And here's the thing, von Trier has a fear of flying. So he read this screenplay and went, okay, I hate flying, but fuck it. I am going to jump onto an airplane, fly to Boston to film this movie.
Yeah. Good thing.
Yeah. Because, I don't know, this is absolutely true. Whenever any of his films plays at the Cannes Film Festival, he has to drive all the way from his home country in Denmark to France just to partake at the Cannes Film Festival. That's how much he hates flying. He will drive for days on end just to make it to a film festival.
Well, there's always, hiring somebody to do the driving for him.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the shocking thing about this movie, if any of the other stuff wasn't shocking enough. His wife actually goes back to him afterwards.
I know, mutilated penis and all, man. It's
yeah.
Crazy.
I don't want to spoil how and why she comes back to him, but it's just, oh my god, it's like you actually understand why she does it.
Doc, will you tell me after?
Yeah, I'll tell you afterwards.
If you make me wait, I'm going to have to kick your ass.
So, Furry Vengeance, in my opinion, is probably one of the most disturbingly brilliant films I've ever seen since the 1972 classic The Doctor and the Pencil by Jürgen Habermaster. I gotta give it two thumbs up, but I gotta warn you, it's not for the squeamish, it's not for the weak of stomach, and it's definitely disturbing.
It's just fucking horrible.
It is.
If you saw the first original port, you know, the Bad Detective or whatever the...
Bad Lieutenant, yeah.
If you saw the first one, if you thought, like, him running up to the window and jacking off into it was bad,
this is
even
worse.
Crazier. Just
this
think
is
about
absolutely
mutilated
worse.
Penis.
Yes.
And that's it. You just, after that, it just goes past there. Anything said and done is just gone.
Yeah. But people should definitely see this film if they want to try something different. It's great. Furry Vengeance. Go and see it.
So, how many fingers do you give it?
I gave it two.
I gave it two middle fingers way the fuck up.
And I gave it two thumbs up from an artistic approach.
Thank you.
Because it was so vag-tastic. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Video games.
Video games.
Boobies.
Boobies?
Boobies, where?
I don't know.
I got to try out the demo for this one game. I'm not sure if Blonic tried it on the 360 called Zombie Apocalypse.
No, they didn't have it on my side.
Alright. It's kind of like a weird PlayStation 3 download where you have to survive a zombie battle and you have a good arsenal of weapons like chainsaws, guns, and teddy bears filled with
C4. What?
Yay,
wait, what?
Teddy bears! C4!
Can I buy those?
Boomy!
You can buy the teddy bears, and you can buy the C4, and you can make them on your own.
That's too much effort.
Okay. Although, I do have to say, the graphics in this game looked more like PS2 than PS3.
Ooh! They were puke-ish.
And the gameplay in it was a bit too repetitive. You just kill zombies or shake them off if they grab you.
No, please don't rape me, Mr. Zombie.
I'm your crunk, just won't befriend.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, befriend with this motherfucker.
Some of the dialogue was pretty funny, I'll give them that. But, all in all, after I was done with this demo, I just deleted it.
Whoa.
Yeah, you gotta save that space for the other good shit.
Yeah, skip it and look into Resident Evil or Dead Rising.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what have you been playing as of late?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Why me?
Because it always has to be you.
Oh, man, you know college has been kicking my ass. What are you doing? Hey, oh, this is a sheet.
Yes.
The Darkness. What's The Darkness?
Well, The Darkness was a game that was a demo that I tried out where this guy gets killed on his 21st birthday and is reborn with the power of the darkness. And the darkness are like these two eel-like creatures that are attached to him that help attack enemies.
Oh, that motherfucker! The one with the Marilyn Manson fucking soundtrack doing it all that fun shit. Yeah, okay, now I know what you're talking about.
It was, when you play it, you use the left trigger to shoot the left gun and the right trigger to shoot the right gun. And it was realistic, but there were times when I was playing it where it was kind of confusing. Like, I would actually forget that each gun had to be used by each trigger.
Yeah, that's, you know, I find that to happen a lot when I'm playing most types of shooter games.
Yeah, especially when you have bad hand-eye coordination.
Well, seeing that you love the fucking Wii so much.
Yeah. Like, if I had done it with the Wii, with the two Wiimotes in each hand, I could have probably done it better.
Yeah, most likely.
That's what they all say.
That is what they all say.
Shut up, you!
I'm just saying!
And the graphics, while gritty and faithful to the original source, the original comic book, there were times where it was too dark to see anything.
Well, we do need to get you a better TV.
Yeah.
But I mean, anyway, sometimes, yeah, they kind of go overboard on the darkness.
Yeah.
They don't acknowledge what they've done.
Mm-hmm. And on top of that, the camera work in this game wasn't really that good. I had to, like, you know, readjust it every time I had to turn around and such, and it was a bit of a hassle, especially at, like, the most crucial moments. So, right now, I kind of give it, like, a thumb sideways. I might rent it first before I make a decision as to whether it's worth getting.
Okay.
Alright, so,
No, wait. What about that one that we found mysteriously?
Okay, yes. Let's talk about this game that we discovered during our radio show on Wednesday. Naughty Bear!
Naughty Bear!
Naughty Bear!
Naughty Bear! Where you are a teddy bear that does not get invited to the teddy bear's picnic.
Boo!
Bullies. So, you seek vengeance and kill all the other teddy bears.
Vendetta! Vendetta!
And it's a creepy-ass teddy bear. He's got, like, a scar over his right eye. And he's got this evil smirk. And he's, like, badass with a machete. Okay. We have here the trailer for this game right here. We're going to see if this works with playing it.
Is it picking it up?
No, it's not.
All right, well, let's continue talking.
Okay.
I'm going to continue watching while you discuss it.
Well, basically, you are a teddy bear. Like I said, you were going to try to get invited to the party by giving him a present. And hopefully make some friends. So he goes up and walks up to him with the present. And they all laugh at him. Just meanly. And you feel bad for Naughty Bear for how they're treating him.
Yeah, all I can say is this is going to be the number one game for all those kids that get picked on. Especially with all that bullying shit going on right now.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, fuck yeah, I'm going to go kill me some bitches.
And then he just smirks, and then he grabs a shotgun and shoots the stuffing out of one of them.
I wouldn't be surprised if, due to all this bullying stuff, they bring back Revenge of the Nerds.
How much time is it supposed to do it?
Well, I'd love to see those again.
Okay.
But back to what you're saying, I do apologize for interrupting you.
He's all fucked up and everything like that, and all you see is the other one behind him. And of course, if you get the special edition one, I think you get a bear with the actual Jason mask.
Yeah.
No way.
I hope you get to kill Care Bear like characters in this game.
Yeah.
Or Tinkly Winkly motherfuckers.
Tinkly Winkly?
Yeah, you know, those big fucking weird
Teletubbies.
I would like to kill one of those things.
I think they did that in Robot Chicken once.
Yeah. Oh, man, we were going down the list, and there's, like, a ton of good games coming out.
We have Split Second coming out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the guy put us on the list. Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. Just fucking killed a banana.
All right, let's all sing the song. Peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time.
Now, is it MC Chris that does that voice?
I believe so. Yes.
He's the guy who does the voice of the robot in Borderlands.
Oh, great! Really?
I think so. Trap? Yeah, I think that's him. I have Pandalicious would know that.
Oh, great.
All right, is that all we got for video games this week?
Unless you want me to go down the list of the GameStop. Sure, why the fuck not?
Because I think Anvil really wants to get to a sports.
Do you want
to
get into sports?
Yeah.
Sports?
Sports.
Sports.
Okay, sports. Go for the sports.
Because we have a lot to talk about today. Well, last night, I was chilling out, waiting to go out last night, and I was watching some of the Red Sox game, and I got home to find out that we lost in the 10th inning.
Yeah, that wasn't that good.
I was depressed. But all I said to myself was, Anvil, don't look so upset. Smacked myself across the face. Had a couple shots of Jack.
It's
like, don't cry, be a man. Drink Jack. All right, I'm tough. The Bruins play tomorrow. Be your man. Because, as everybody should know, Bruins made it onto the second round, and myself, Mr. Blue, and Mr. Duck, we grabbed lunch after the movie and came back to watch the game. And we scored 2 goals in the first period. We're like, yeah, we're up 2-0. Mm-hmm. But then Philly scores 1. But then we score 1. But then they scored 1. And we're like,
then we're up by 2.
And then we go up by 2, and then they tie it. And we go into overtime. And we're like, no overtime.
F you in the end.
And then suddenly we thought it was going to be interrupted by the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, they started showing the Kentucky Derby. I'm like, yo, fucking horseshit, I'll kill you all if you don't put on the game. And then it comes back to the game. I'm like, hey. Anvil's no longer aggressive. So we're playing. Opening minute, I thought we had it. Because a few times it actually looked like they were going to go in.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing. And all of a sudden, who scores the game-winning goal for the Bruins? Mark Savard, freshly off of his disabled stint after taking the hit from Matt Cook. It was really good to see him back on the ice and scoring. I bet his wife was happy to see him scoring, too.
Yeah.
But we, you know, took the first game against the Philadelphia Flyers. I'm excited. This is, you know, the Bruins made it this far last year. And I remember watching them lose to Carolina. And I want to cry.
Yes.
Because, you know, there is crying in hockey. It's just on football and baseball.
You have to just get stabbed in the face with a skate.
Yeah. Because, you know, none of my hockey coaches ever said, you know, there's no crying in hockey. But we're not going to get to that.
If you throw Tom Hanks in there, yeah, you could do it.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
Now, tonight, the Celtics are playing in, I guess, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yay!
And Queen James. Queen LeBron James. She is so retarded. Like, she's like, my alveolar bone hurts.
And then Shaq walks over and goes, quit being a little bitch.
Everyone's little to you.
I know.
It's like, forget it, you're my bitch. But last time we played them, we made Shaq our bitch by breaking his thumb. Yeah, he needs surgery and all that other shit. So, I mean, I'm really looking forward to that, but tonight, there's also a fight that I'm looking forward to hearing about.
Yeah.
Because I'm not spending the money to watch it. The legendary Sugar Shane Mosley will take on the fastest hand in the sport, the knockout artist, Floyd Money Mayweather.
This is
a battle of the ages. I know who's going to win.
I hope he gets fucked up.
So, I'm going to take the bastard picks, Mr. Blue. Who's going to win this fight?
Wait, who are you picking again?
I haven't picked yet.
Well, fuck it. Whoever you're picking is, you know, I'm going against. I want that motherfucker to win. I want the old guy.
Alright, he's going for Sugar Shane Mosley.
I want Sugar Shane.
So he's automatically assuming I'm going with Floyd Money Mayweather, which I am.
Douchebag.
Okay. Mr. Duck, who are you going to go with?
I'm going to go with Moneymaker there.
Floyd Money Mayweather. Alright, he's going younger against older wisdom. I say knockout.
You say knockout?
Yep.
I say they go the distance.
You say that it's going to be a decision.
And it goes into my favorite. Fuck you,
dude.
Both.
You do realize how many rounds there are in like?
I don't give a shit.
Okay.
It could be 24 rounds. I still think he'd make it.
Fuck you. I mean, I'm only saying knockout because that's what Floyd's known for. I've seen a few of his fights, and boy, can he hit fastest hands. It's going to be a really good fight. I guess I should touch on it. The Kentucky Derby's today. Okay, I touched on it.
Yeah.
Wait, well, what about that baseball pitcher from the Phillies?
Oh. Well, you could tell the story, because you're the one that told me.
Oh, right. Well, what was his name? Mattson?
Yes.
Mattson?
While he's finding that story, what were your thoughts on the fourth round pick that Patriots picked?
Oh, come on, that's bullshit, man.
You think it's bullshit?
Yeah, he came out and admitted that he smoked some marijuana. Whoop-de-doo.
Marijuana.
But they're saying that the Pats are being cautious right now with him.
No. Who's saying that?
I was reading that in the Globe.
No. That means that they just have to put him through some extra drug tests. He didn't fail one at the Combine. He hasn't failed one in a while. It was after his father died that he smoked some weed.
Okay.
Up here in Massachusetts, up to a certain amount's only a fine.
Good point.
Under an ounce.
It's not like, you know, he's using cocaine or heroin or anything.
Yeah, but still the league could go after him about it.
Well, no, because he didn't fail his Combine one.
No, I mean, like, if they find it in his system again.
Well, yes, because Ricky Williams got in trouble over it.
Because what it is, like, they don't tell you this, but you smoke weed, the hair follicles capture it. So, more or less along those lines, they can still pick it out.
Have you seen his hair?
I don't give a shit if you can't see his hair.
No.
I don't care. You can still dig a root out of that fucking thing.
No.
Let me think. What do you call it? All right, here we go. Are you done with that one?
Yes, you can go.
All right, Ryan Mattson. Dumb motherfucker. This is what it reads on Yahoo today. It says, folding chair defeats Ryan Mattson via TKO. Even though that doesn't really make sense.
Technical knockout.
He didn't, technical knockout, more or less, in that sense. But
it's not like the chair jumped up and smacked him in the face and knocked him unconscious.
No, but a technical...
Although I wish it did.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
He kicked the chair. No, okay. Well, this is how it quotes out on the Yahoo. Mattson injured the toe after he blew. He was saved Wednesday in San Francisco. He said he slipped walking down a flight of stairs leading from the dugouts to the clubhouse. Then he kicked a metal folding chair. He felt like he stubbed his toe, but realized it was worse when he woke up Thursday morning and had difficulty hobbling around. I mean, walking around. How stupid do you have to fucking be? Like, these... I know you can throw tantrums, but it would be better off if they were just throw them in a padded room.
Yeah, you know, be like a normal person and kick your Gatorade container.
Exactly.
It falls over and spills. Big whoop. Now, I want to touch a little bit on baseball for a second here. Now, I'm sitting back this morning, you know, watching my Sports Center, and breaking in was that Major League Baseball is pulling the All-Star game out of Arizona for the 2011 year because Arizona is making it a rule that you can be arrested for not being a U.S. citizen in their state, which would mean a lot of the baseball players from Cuba, Dominican Republic and stuff could actually be arrested as immigrants. And actually, We can even take Jason Bay because he's a Canadian citizen.
Wow.
Yeah.
So even if they have work visas and everything?
Yeah, because they're considered immigrants still.
Well, but they're not technically illegal if they have work visas.
Yeah, but the law that they wrote doesn't say illegal immigrant. It says immigrant.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, let's put it in this sense. Let's just say when it gets down to playoff time and they're not doing so hot... They're going to start knocking down the locker door room just before the game.
Arizona's really not that good of a baseball team.
Yeah, exactly. That's
what
I'm saying.
Well, they won the World Series, 10 years ago?
Yeah, but it doesn't count because they had Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling on the pitching staff. And they took co-World Series MVP.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't done much since the two of them left.
Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, what's you guys' feelings on this?
Well, I do believe it is a very stupid law. Because it is affecting not just illegal immigrants, but legal ones as well.
Yep.
Well, yeah, you got to get to the point where it's like, you know, they've been, and probably people have been here for a very long time legally. and you get a police officer that, well, in some sense, I keep hearing it totally different ways. It keeps going back and forth. Like, the news media fucks up on doing a lot of stuff where they don't put in enough detail because they're so busy trying to set up the next fucking thing in line. But they have it set up where they says, oh, yeah, they need to either have a reason to go up to them and, you know, talk with the people about what if they have, like, a identification or a green card or whatever to be in the States. With that said, the other, you know, sometimes the other fucking thing is correspondent saying police officers can just walk up and start just asking anybody.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you look at it, the baseball standpoint, all they have to do is open a program. Oh, San Juan, Puerto Rico, huh? Let's go check him out. Because now they have proof that wasn't born in this country.
So, what if he is illegally a U.S. citizen?
Well, then that doesn't matter.
So, they'll still arrest him?
No, because he's a U.S. citizen at this point.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I'm waiting for the day. I don't know, I'm going to take it like this. The Seattle Mariners are playing in Arizona. Mm-hmm. Now batting Ichiro. Oh, forget he's in handcuffs. Is it get to the point where you have one of those cocky cops that just wants to do it and will walk out there and cuff him as, you know, he's about to bat? Because technically, under the law, he could. It's like, okay, let's see your ID, let's start arresting these players, and what's going to happen?
You're not going to have any good baseball players anymore.
But
you're not going to have a whole team.
Well, no, there are some, you know.
Name me one.
Steve and Drew.
Who?
J.D. Drew's younger brother. Our outfielder for the Red Sox, his younger brother's their shortstop.
Oh. Okay. One.
He's like, he named me one. Dude, I don't follow Arizona. Who? They're National League. They don't even play against us except for a few games a year.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't pay too much attention to them. But you have to think, there's also basketball.
Yep.
Hockey.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Phoenix Suns.
Well, that's basketball.
Yeah, I know that.
And then the football. But
the Cardinals.
Yes, but look at hockey, right?
Yep.
How many of those guys are from Canada?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
They're not going to have a hockey team anymore, are they?
Yeah, but that gets to the point where it's like they have more of, like, you know, a leeway, more or less, I would want to say, because Canada, we're not worried so much of them coming here to take our jobs. We're more worried about how the, you know, types of the Central American or...
Well, yeah, but what I'm saying is if you have a cop that just feels like being a complete asshole, he could.
Yeah.
You know, he could be the world's biggest douchebag.
Well, that's discretion for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the officer's discretion at that point. So, I mean, you never know how it's going to go.
Mm.
We have to wait and see. Because I think they have to change the law.
Yeah.
Because under our Constitution, discrimination is against the law.
Yep.
Well, just because they're not a U.S. citizen doesn't mean you're allowed to, you know, discriminate against them.
Yes, it does.
So what, our laws are only good enough as long as you're a U.S. citizen?
Yes, that's what Arizona thinks.
Well, my friend and I were talking about this when we were in our class and shit. We were just like, yep, here comes another amendment. Just because of the fact that it's going to get to that point where it's so fucking stupid that they're just going to be like, yep, all people of such and such race and culture, they're out of here. It's going to be like how communism was again.
Yeah.
You know, like they were all about getting rid of communists or fascists or all that other stuff.
Yeah.
But that's just because those were bad people in that sense. But, yeah, I mean, like, these people are, you know, immigrants that are, you know, probably Mexican, El Salvadorian, you know, all the way, you just go down the line of Central America, but what it is they're coming here, they're doing some of the jobs that a lot of Americans just don't want to give a fuck about.
Do you know what it is, though? If you look at it, it's almost like Arizona's a dictatorship, because they're basically dictating who's allowed in their state.
Hmm.
Like, I went to school with some kids, you know, from Somalia, and, you know, other parts of Africa, who were, you know, running from the genocide and the war, civil wars going on in their countries.
Yeah, you have to give sympathy for people.
They came
like that
here for asylum. So what? You're gonna arrest them for, you know, not wanting to be slaughtered?
Yep.
Same thing down in South America. You know, some of the drug cartels are slaughtering villages for new places to grow. So are you gonna, you know, arrest those people for coming up here to try to, you know, live?
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't the 1940s when, you know, Pearl Harbor gets bombed and you take all the Japanese and shove them in, you know, a horse farm.
Yeah. Which still was a very terrible thing, by the way.
Yes, I was just watching a thing on it, and they had some of the people that lived there.
Mm.
And You know, it's like, you can't do this to people. Mm-hmm. They're still humans. What if, you know, I decided to go visit Ireland, and I get arrested because I was born in America? It's like, well, you're not, you know, a native of this country, so, you know, sorry. We understand, you know, you have family here, but you're not from here. We'll put you in jail. Or you go to France, or we go, you know, decide to go to Germany, or... What if you went to visit your friends in Japan, and they arrested you for it? Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, is that what the world's going to come to? Where, you know, we all have to stay in our own countries and...
But that's not going to be fun, is it?
No, because what's the use in traveling and playing sports if you can't, you know, because...
Or touring with your band.
Or yeah. Streaking.
Yeah!
No, I'm just kidding. Down Amsterdam Line. I don't know, whatever.
Well, there is the Naked Town in France.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to go.
It's not Porta Piranha. I forget the name of it.
Yeah, you'll remember it eventually.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know we're going a little more political on this, and I know this started off as sports, but I mean, it's the truth. It all has to tie back to that. Because look at the World Baseball Classic.
Yep.
Great event. Rio teams travel around. Just like the Olympics. Would that be allowed to happen anymore? I don't think it would.
On a plus side, it would make the hosts and country very happy to see all their athletes winning all the gold medals. Nope, and the silver, and the bronze.
Nope, because you have to think, the U.S. Olympic Committee that selects it, they all meet in one country, and they're not all from that country, so they'd all be arrested. The country that it's held in, you know, the committee's held in, not one member's from that country. So that means nobody would be able to choose.
I see.
Just like the United Nations... I know we're pushing this a little bit further than the true aspect, but I'm looking at what if everybody follows after Arizona. I think people need to step in and regulate this part. Because I find it to be discrimination.
Yeah.
That's just the whole aspect.
Correct. What are your thoughts on this, Blahnik?
Well, yeah, of course it's discrimination, but there's a factor of it that we already have a setup where it's illegal for a person... that doesn't have documentation, correct all this other bullshit, all that other fun stuff, to be in our country and to be taking jobs or driving cars around, and, you know, if they get into an accident, they don't have insurance, they don't have anything like that. Mm-hmm. That causes more issues and stuff like that. I see that we have to take care of shit like that. But the fact that they're finally trying to put, like, an actual, like, response to it finally, it's like, hey, it's illegal for you to be here, you illegal immigrant. What are we going to do about that? You know, then just more or less run around doing nothing.
Yeah.
Now it's like, hey, we can actually question you, detain you, and then figure out what we're going to do with you. Keep you in prison or toss you back over the border.
Exactly. And then it costs us all a ton of money to throw them back over the border.
Well, I mean, like, let's take a part of me feels, yes, that would be a good idea to be able to just take care of what the people that aren't supposed to be here. But... I got to look at it the other way. We had that whole incident with the ICE, group. What is that again? Whatever the fuck it is. It's like INS, but it's called ICE. And
oh, Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Yeah, exactly. So they go and kick down a fucking door for a sweatshop. And more or less what they did was they took all the people that were in the sweatshop and deported all of them. The only problem is all their kids were still at home. So, it kind of gets to the point where they have ties here, where they have a kid, they have some other kind of thing, like their house, their pets, all that other fun stuff. So, they just did that totally and completely wrong because of the fact that they sent these parents away from their kids that are at home being watched by a babysitter, and the babysitter at home is probably like, am I going to get paid extra for this?
No, you're
not going to get paid at all.
Here's a free baby for you.
You're going to get paid in pesos because they're over in fucking Mexico or something. You know, it gets really bad like that. And I feel bad. But how back in the 80s, like when the Cubans were coming over here in boats and boats upon boats of people, you know? Like, they didn't take care of that shit. They never took care of that shit when they should have done. And that would have cut down a lot of the crime. But in the other aspect, the sick, sad aspect of down, like, let's take Miami, for instance. Miami wouldn't be absolute anything if it wasn't because of the drug trades. Those were the main reason why Drugs were coming in, money was being put in, money was being laundered, then put into the fucking banks. The banks were putting into the fucking buildings and all that other stuff. All the politicians were fucking corrupt as a motherfucker. They had total, like, chaos and anarchy down there with killings and all that other stuff.
Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Exactly. That's why you got fucking, you know, Miami the way it is now. It's all fucking big and beautiful buildings and it's all pretty and shit like that because of the cocaine industry.
Thank you, Tony Montana.
Yeah, exactly. Or actually, what's her name? The late, oh man. That was one badass bitch. Mm.
Was that the one with the Facebook profile?
Yeah, that one right there. Yeah. Mm. But there was always good and from bad. I mean, I dealt with like my drug and crime class, and we're trying to figure out what would be better. Should we take care of the domestic part of it with the like demand or the supply part? If we go and start, you know, dropping napalm and fucking up parts of the forest and stuff like that because they're growing cocaine, or should we take care of the motherfuckers that are like, give me some more! I want some more fucking coke! I want some more fucking heroin! Give me some more shit! You know, it's like, you got those people that are just like, I need to be fucking high all the time in order to make it through the day. Then you've got the cartels, which I'm like, why don't you just cut the fucking head off the snake? You cut the head off the snake, it doesn't fucking move anymore. You have to go for the fucking head cartels, but nobody was listening to me. They're like, no, that's silly. How could you do that? It's like, as soon as you kill one of them, there's another one that comes up. Well, then you kill that motherfucker, too. I don't give a shit. You lay waste all the motherfuckers if you have to. Make a fucking point. I mean, look, you got Pablo Escobar, who was a motherfucker that kept curb-stomping the shit out of every goddamn person.
Pablo Escobar.
Fucking asshole he was. Yep. And it got to the point where they finally had to just wipe him out in order to, you know, the people around there couldn't fear him anymore. But yet, somebody else stepped into his place and started taking shit over. Yep. It's just that you have to have something in line. That's how Afghanistan is.
Yep.
I mean, if we didn't fucking, I mean, next to Iraq, we go and put ourselves in there. We can't just go back out. It's like, yep, we won the war. See you later, fuckers. And there you go. They start up again. You can't do that. We've kind of learned from our mistakes in that sense. I mean, hence, fucking World War II, Germany, we still got fucking troops there. Ramstein air base. That's why that's still there. We're still making sure that the Nazis don't try to come back up out of nowhere again.
Because basically, after World War I, we're like, okay, we're all done here. Let's leave. We left and, well, World War II happened.
Yeah, yep. So. It just gets to the point where get to the point where you got to look at the concept of history repeating itself, and you got to go and take that down. And then, more or less, with this, no matter what we do, if we put a lake of fire and shit like that on the border, they're still going to cross somehow. They're going to learn how to make fucking like kites or something like that big enough to drop them over onto the other side, or they're going to use catapults, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Hang gliders.
Exactly. So,
girlfriend.
Yes, the launcher lady. Anyways, it seems that no matter what, they could hop on a boat and swim over there, even with the Coast Guard there. It doesn't matter. It's no way that we can watch all that shit. We can't, you know, watch every part of our borders. But the fact that I do feel bad that there's a lot of these people down there, you know, going up in arms and, you know, pulling out the signs and having to deal with police and all that other fun stuff. Now, the one thing I was thinking was, with this whole setup going on, the fucking police would be sitting there, or INS would be like, could I see your ID? Oh, son of a bitch, are you serious? I left it at home, my wallet's at home, fuck. Well, you're fucked, go back to your country. There you go, back to your country. Yep, you're gone.
It's like, I'm from this country.
I remember watching the girl, she's like, no, this is so racist, and blah, 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 and we're people too. Yes, you are people, I understand, you are human, this is all this other bullshit. But the fact is if you're in our country illegally and shit like that, it's not like I go to your country and fuck up your economy. We go and fuck up everybody's economy. That's how we are, we're America, that's how we roll.
I was just watching something on this, and they actually were trying to talk to this woman. And they're like, excuse me, ma'am, how do you feel about, you know, immigrants not being in this country? Woman couldn't speak a lick of English. It's like, yeah, exactly.
Well, the other one that my professor kind of tossed towards us was the whole slave trade shit. Like, in the concept of, you know, you've got these people that can't speak a lick of English, but yet they're trying to come over to this country, and it's called human trafficking, the fun stuff.
Yeah.
So they come over here. And they get turned into slaves. So when they're turned into slaves, they don't know what the fuck's going on. They want to, you know, they're trying to pay off yet their debt to their master, as they call it, because the masters go and buy people for, like, a couple hundred bucks or some bullshit, It's ridiculous.
Yeah. We try not to get too political on this show. But
even though it's fun.
But there are some things that we do have to open our mouths about. And this is a big thing. Because how many of us actually know somebody that's not from this country? Actually, I believe a couple of us in the room who have dated people who weren't from this country.
Hey, fuck you, buddy. Seriously?
Dude, me too.
No, I haven't.
Oh.
They were.
Oh.
They're from New York.
Well, I don't know if that counts.
Well, yeah, that's true. Because a lot of the people that are from, like, either Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico or whatever, like, came from there to New York, to Massachusetts. It's really fucking stupid.
Yeah, because I've dated, you know, somebody that was from Puerto Rico and somebody that was from Barbados.
I mean, we've got tons of friends that, like, you know, when they got out of high school, they were either going to get deported, so they had to marry somebody or some shit like that. Remember that?
Yeah. I had a friend of mine, Noor, that I went to school with, but, like, 3 weeks left in class, he actually had to go back to, you know, the Czech Republic. You know, we tried to stay in touch, but the mail over there was just so horrible that we lost touch.
Yeah.
But...
it happens.
Yeah, exactly. But try to fight this. The bastards are against discrimination of immigrants.
Even though we're bastards, we care. Right?
Yeah.
So. Especially because we love sports. No, we're just kidding.
All right. Let's wrap up this episode. Remember, check out our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent articles and podcast episodes. And if you have any requests and feedback for us, the email address is thebastards@BostonBastardBrigade.com.
You can also reach us at myspace.com/BostonBastardBrigade. Also, we've got our group on Facebook, and yet we're still trying to do that. It just doesn't want to work. It doesn't want to do anything.
No.
I'm about to make it B3 Masters or something like that. No, wait, B3 Master of Debaters.
And don't forget to check out our sisters at the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. Go show them some love.
Before we go, tell us about the walk that we're going to be doing.
Okay, so for those who haven't been listening, Sunday, June 20th of this year, myself, Mr. Duck, and Mr. Blue, yes, I'm being very professional today, are going to be taking part in the North Shore Cancer Center Walk. Basically, we're going to walk 3 miles to try to raise money for cancer research and all this other stuff to help, you know, the people with cancer.
Right.
Now, our goal is $5,000, and we're asking everybody out there for help, but we actually have all agreed that if we hit the $15,000 mark, we will march the entire thing in kilts.
Yep.
For those who don't know about this year, most of the proceeds from the walk will support the renovation of the inpatient oncology unit at North Shore Medical Center Salem Hospital, ensuring that the cancer patients have access to the most up-to-date and sophisticated cancer care on the North Shore. Additionally, funds will continue to provide the Massachusetts General North Shore Cancer Center with new equipment and support programs directly benefiting patients, such as wellness and research. Now, we're actually going to be part of Team Kathy, which Kathy is my mother's best friend. She's like a second mother to me. And she's on our second battle with breast cancer. We've all, in some way, shape, or form, you know somebody who has battled cancer.
Yeah, no shit.
Yep.
So, this means something to us. We may be bastards, but we still care.
Right.
And every dollar helps.
Mm-hmm. And Anvil is going to post up the info where you can help raise money, send out donations, on the B3 site very, very soon. Probably, hopefully, maybe sometime within the week.
Yeah, sometime during the week I'll put everything up. If you want to donate, you know, I'll even put it on there. Please contact us through the bastard email, and we'll tell you where you can send your checks so we can make our donation, because I'd like to sit there and be able to write a nice big check to the cancer institution. I know we're all going to put in our own money to help out, too. I know, actually, we've already started it. Between the three of us, we've already put in some.
Mm-hmm.
And I know some of our friends are getting some money together to help out. So we ask our fans. We're actually going to talk to a couple of the bands that we know and see if maybe they can help us out too.
Cool.
So please contact us. This is a very good cause, because every dollar helps push closer and closer to a cure for the different cancers.
Yep.
Because, like I said, cancer affects everybody. I see it on a daily basis.
I know you do.
So I want to try to help as best as I can, and I know the Cancer Center, North Shore Medical Center, Salem Hospital. Well, they need all the help they can to keep that place running.
Yeah.
So, yes, Blue.
Not to be a douchebag, but it also helps put money towards getting them wigs and shit.
Yeah.
And I don't mean just wigs for their hair. I mean wigs for the pubics.
Dude, you're an asshole.
Yeah.
But I mean, no, getting the wigs for the, you know, people going through chemo who lost their hair, helping their families through support programs, the medicines they need just to continue. I know my mother talked to me this week that, you know, Kathy might need platelets. So once it comes to that point, I'll be, you know, hooking myself up to donate my platelets. So.
Which is a very painful process, man.
I know, I've done it before. They hook a needle in one arm, hook it in another, and you're there for a few hours.
Yeah.
I know, but basically it helps boost their immune system and their white blood cells, so they can get the chemo to save their life. So, yeah, it may be a couple hours that your arms and body are, you know, weak and in pain, but it keeps them alive.
Yeah.
So, if you can just get me some orange juice and some cookies, I'll be all good.
Hey, you get it after.
No, I want it between.
Sure. Yeah. And we'll let you watch a movie, too. Actually, they let me watch movies. So, even with that, even if you can't donate money, contact your local American Red Cross and see about donating blood and platelets. And, you know, help somebody out. Alright, well, I'm all set with that one.
Okay, so, until next time, this is King Baby Doc.
Yes, Melodic.
This is Anvil.
Saying sayonara, bitches.
We are
the Bastards.